As you're finding your place, I invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 this morning. And we will be there momentarily. Of course, the Corinthian church was, as we have said on a number of occasions, the Corinthian church was a carnal church. It was a church that was filled with carnality. It was a church that, as we're going to see a little bit this morning, it was filled with contention. It was a church that really no pastor in their right mind would willingly walk into to want to try and pastor it. Just how problem-filled and how trouble-ridden and how plagued with issues this particular church was. And so the Apostle Paul writes them this letter, and the first half of 1 Corinthians is to do just that. It's to correct problems. And then in the second half of the book, it's to then answer questions that the Corinthians would have. And but here in chapter 1, where we're going to be this morning, we see the crux of Paul's encouragement, if I can put it that way, to the church. And I want you to notice there, we'll begin at verse number 1 and read down through verse number 10. We'll cover other verses, but I want you to see, and I want us to see several things here this morning. The Bible says there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm unto you the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now you notice there in verse number 10, Paul says here, he beseeches them. In other words, he is imploring them to speak the same thing, to be together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And for a few moments this morning, that's the thought that I want to preach us on, is the call to speak the same thing. The call to speak the same thing. Now we see here in verse number 10, Paul is again imploring them, beseeching them, encouraging them by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to speak the same thing. He wants no divisions, that they be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, before we get to verse number 10, and even after verse number 10, we need to understand what Paul is trying to encourage this church at Corinth about. And there's several things I want to see. Number one, we need to answer the question, well, who are we, or who we are? Notice there, verse number 2, the Bible says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. So when Paul, in verse number 10, tells them and beseeches them and implores them and encourages them, and he knows there, comma, brethren, comma. So we know that this is written to believers. We know this is written to Christians. This is not written to those that are outside of the church. This is not written to those that are lost. This is not written to those who don't know any better. This is written to believers. This is written to Christians. And he says, speak the same thing, that there be no divisions, be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Why? Because of who we are. And who we are, in verse number 2, we are the church of God. That's who the church at Corinth was. They were the church of God, which was at Corinth. They were not just some secular entity. They were not just some worldly institution. They were the church of God. And the encouragement for us this morning is that when he writes to the Corinthian believers, and in by extension to us, to encourage us to speak the same thing and encourage us that there be no divisions and to be in the same mind and in the same judgment and perfectly joined together, he's encouraging that because of who we are, because we are the church of God. That is who we belong to. We do not belong to a secular entity. We belong to God himself. We are his, and he is ours. We are the church of God. But then secondly this morning, we see what he did for us. Number one, he saved us. If you're here this morning, and you can remember a time that you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, then you have an assurance this morning that he saved you, that he that he changed you. And we see that, notice there, verse number 2 again, last part of it, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. How does someone get saved? By calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how somebody gets saved. But then skip down, verse number 17. The Bible says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But here's the key, last part of verse number 18. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And so we see Paul here, he's imploring the Corinthian church, speak the same thing, have no divisions, be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. Why? Number one, because you're the church of God. But then number two, because the Lord Jesus Christ saved you. He bought you with a price. But not only did he save us, but then secondly, we see he called us to be saints. Notice there again, verse number 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Called to be saints. If you're here this morning and you're saved, you are a saint. We looked at it in Sunday school a little bit this morning, from Philippians 1:1, and the order of the church, it's the saints, the pastor, the deacons, and that's the order. So it's the membership, the pastor, the deacons, but in that, it was referred to as saints, the saints of God. And if you're saved here this morning, you are a saint. I told this story in Sunday school, but at our church in Philly that we grew up in, our head usher, his name was Nick Mangini, and every time pastor would teach and or preach on this idea of us being saints, he would make the comment, the joke that we don't even have to wait to Christmas to go visit Saint Nick, because we can go visit him every Sunday, every Wednesday that he's here, because he's a Christian, because he knows Christ is his Savior. He is a saint. And so not only did he save us, but he called us to be saints. But then we see not only did he save us, not only did he call us to be saints, but then he set us apart. Again, notice verse number 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. So after he saved us, after he called us to be saints, He then sanctified us. That word sanctified means to be set apart. Now we are no longer our own. We no longer live for our own pleasure. We no longer live for us. Now we live for Him because He sanctified us, because He set us apart. And so now our lives are to be different. Now we are to be as Corinthians calls it, a new creature in Christ. We are to be different. And so again, when Paul, there in verse number 10, when he implores them to speak the same thing, that there be no divisions, that they be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment, it's because that they are the church of God. And that there should be a difference amongst the church of God. And that He saved us. He bought us with a price. He called us to be saints. He set us apart. And because He did all of those things, then our life should be marked by being different. Peter, the Bible calls us that we're a peculiar people. We're to be peculiar. We're to be different. Some other encouragement here. Notice verse number 9. God is faithful. God is faithful by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so Paul, he beseeches them, he implores them to do these things, to speak the same thing, no divisions, perfectly joined together, same mind, same judgment. So how can we do it when the world and the culture is just pulling us in 1,000 different directions? We need to be reminded that God is faithful. God is faithful. Listen, even sometimes when you and I aren't as faithful as we should be, God is faithful. God is still there. Every time we let Him down, every time we fail Him or falter or fall into sin or whatever it is, God is still faithful. But then we notice verse number 2 again. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. We notice here that this was a local church. Again, we talk about the Corinthian church being filled with problems, but we need to remember that it was a local church. And it teaches us that, listen, the local church, despite it being God's ordained institution to reach the world, it's still going to have problems. There is no perfect church. And if you find the perfect church, don't go there, because by you attending, it will no longer be perfect. And by me attending, it will no longer be perfect. And so this is written to serve as a reminder that, listen, there is no perfect church, despite what we may think sometimes. You know, growing up, you know, my church in Philly, I thought it was the most perfect church, you know, on earth and in existence. And now I know that probably wasn't the case. We had good people. We had people who loved the Lord. We had a good pastor. But I'm sure that there were still problems within that local church, because when you're getting a group of people together that are sinners saved by grace, there will always be issues. But again, God is faithful. So even when there are problems, God is still faithful. But not only does it teach us that even local churches will have problems, it teaches that there are local churches. There is no such thing as the universal church. There is local assemblies of New Testament churches. And so when Paul implores them here to speak the same thing and to have no divisions, to be perfectly joined together, to have the same mind, same judgments, because of who they are, the church of God, because of what God did for us, of what Christ did for us. He saved us, called us to be saints, set us apart. God is faithful, so we should be faithful to Him. And that the local church is God's ordained institution for reaching the world. And so why was Paul then? That's why we should speak the same thing. That's why there should be no divisions. That's why we should be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. But now, why was Paul writing this? Well, there's a few things here. Number one, we see their authority. Their authority. Now, their authority ultimately came from Christ. Notice verse number 12 there, if you would. Verse number 12, the Bible says, "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas," and then the real spiritual people said, "and I of Christ." And then notice verse number 10 again. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Verse 11. "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." And so we see that their authority was in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, somewhere along the way, they forgot that their authority was Christ. And so they started placing their authority in men. That's what verse number 12 is all about. "And I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ." Verse number 13, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius." And so the people here, the church at Corinth, instead of looking to Christ, who their authority was ultimately in, they were instead looking to men. And there's a problem with that, because man is fallible. Man is going to let you down. Listen, the most godly of pastors somewhere along the line, and the most loving of pastors somewhere along the line, they're going to do something or say something or not do something, and it's going to disappoint you. But listen, with Christ and with God, He never disappoints us. He never lets us down. And so when you come in the church, don't have your eyes on me, and don't have your eyes on another preacher or another pastor, but have your eyes on Christ. And so many times people get enamored with personalities when it comes to preachers and pastors, and they'll say, "Oh man, he sure is a great preacher." Listen, this morning, there is nothing outside of Christ that makes a great preacher great other than Christ Himself. I have it written in my Bible here, but it says, what makes a great preacher? A great book, a great God, a great Son, a great Savior, a great salvation, and a great love. It is the message, not the messenger. And that's what Paul says in verse number 17 there. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." But then we see their authority was in men. But then secondly, we see that their motive was pride. We see that their motive was pride. Notice verse number 12. Or I'm sorry, notice verse number 11. The Bible says, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ." And then notice verse 29. "That no flesh should glory in his presence. And verse number 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Their motive, because they had their eyes on man and not on Christ, well, now everything they did was not necessarily to please Christ, but it was to please the men. And now they were puffed up with pride. In verse number 11, that there are contentions among you. So in verse number 10, he implores them, speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Why? Verse number 11, that there are contentions among you. Now, their motive was pride. And then their problem was not only contentions, but their problem was carnality. Notice chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 1 through 3, the Bible says, "And I, brethren," again, written to Christians, "and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not yet carnal?" So back in chapter 1 and verse number 12, when they're saying that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, that was their carnality seeping through. They were carnal. They had envying and strife and division. And so Paul gave his instruction in verse number 10. And now we see the Holy Ghost's instruction. Notice first verse number 10. The Bible says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Then notice verse number 18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." And then finally, verse 31, "that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And so we see here, Paul reminded them, you're the church of God. Christ saved you, called you to be saints, sanctified you, set you apart. God is faithful, even when we're not faithful. This local church is a local church. It has problems, just as we will have problems. They had the wrong authority. They had the wrong motive. They had problems of carnality and contention. And so finally, the Holy Ghost, through Paul, says, here's what you need. Number one, you need unity in the Lord. You need to be unified. That's what he means in verse number 10 when he says, speak the same thing and have no divisions and be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. There needs to be a unity in the Lord. But then not only that, secondly, the cross needs to be at the center. The cross needs to be at the center. Everything we do flows down from the cross. And then his final instruction was the glory is to be given to the Lord. The glory is to be given to God. It's not to be given to men. It's not to be given to other people in the church. It's to be given to God and God alone. The church at Corinth was a problem church. It was a carnal church. It was a contentious church. It was an envying church, a divisive church. And Paul comes to them. He reminds them that God first, and that's what he does first, verse number 9. God is faithful. Despite the envying, despite the strife, despite the carnality, despite the contentions, despite the divisions, God is faithful. And he says, because God is faithful, speak the same thing. Have unity. Because God is faithful, have the cross at the center. And because God is faithful, make sure he and he alone gets the glory in the church. This morning the call is still the same. Speak the same thing. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's what we've been called to. It's where the church of God, saved, saints, sanctified, set apart. We're different. We're ought to be different than this world. And so we need to live like it every single day. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together to our feet.